Scripture reading from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now, as on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." You ever get the feeling that there's more going on to the story than what you see on the surface? Sometimes when we read scripture, we find that it seems like there's a bigger purpose, a richer meaning, a deeper message to be received. And that's often the case when we come to the stories of Jesus. Luke begins by telling us that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Now, this wasn't just a road trip that Jesus was taking with his disciples, a typical road trip. No, when Luke, in his gospel, when Luke says that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, it means that Jesus was on a mission. He was on a mission to the cross in Jerusalem, where he's about to be crucified and to die so that for all of our sins, so that whoever would believe in him could have eternal life. And so Luke is kind of cluing us on that this is part of that mission, going to the cross to bring salvation to all who would believe. And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, traveling between the border between Samaria. That's that area where the Jewish people refer to the Samaritans as the half-breeds. They weren't quite of the pure faith, and so they looked down upon him in Galilee, which was kind of a part of the homeland. And so he's traveling along this border between the despised Samaritans and the homeland, and as he makes his journey, he comes to a village. Now, Luke doesn't name the village. It's possible that this was a village that Jesus tried to enter earlier in the gospel, but they rejected him. And so he comes to this village, but this time it's different. This time, as he approaches the city, he encounters a group of outcasts, a community of individuals who were cut off from the rest of society, who were isolated and were told that they were not welcome here because there was something that was wrong with them. They were lepers. And so they formed their own community. And upon seeing Jesus, they cried out for help. "Lord, have pity on us." Now here's what I like about Luke's gospel, is that it's full of stories of Jesus reaching out to those in need of God's grace, reaching out to those who have been excluded, reaching out to those who were not a part of the typical religious community. And he brings into their situations hope and healing and a message of salvation to all who would put their faith in him. Now, maybe these lepers were aware of this. You know, maybe they had seen Jesus perform miracles for other people before, and they thought, well, just maybe the Lord would have compassion upon us, those of us who have been labeled unclean. Maybe he would heal us. And so they call out to the one they had heard of, the one who might be their only hope. "Have pity on us," they said, for they knew that they were not worthy of what Jesus could offer. At Crossroads, our mission is to reach out in love and acceptance so that all may become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus' heart was for everyone, including those who might have been despised by the religious community. This past year, I've been impressed by the way that I've been seeing this mission lived out, not just kind of here, but people taking it out into their communities, into their homes. That it's not just Pastor Melissa and I who reach out to people that don't really have a church home, but you have shared stories with me of reaching out to loved ones, to family members, to friends, to coworkers. You have shared stories about how you've reached out to people. You have called on those who might be struggling. You've shared a word of encouragement and hope. And you've even gone so far as to sponsor some people in their own journey of recovery. We've been living out that mission of reaching out in love and acceptance so that all may become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. You are bringing the gospel into people's lives, and that is what our mission is all about. Now, when Jesus sees these lepers, he doesn't lay his hands on them. He doesn't offer some sort of words of healing or a prayer of healing. He simply tells them to go and to show themselves to the priest, just as the law would command them to do in order to be declared clean. You see, the priest was the one who held the power, the authority to declare them clean and to restore to them their position in society again. And so they went, even though they had not been made clean yet. Even though they had not received that healing, they may not have known what was about to happen, and yet they obeyed Jesus out of faith. Sure enough, while they're on the way, all 10 were cleansed, we are told. But only one of them had the presence of mind to recognize the source of his healing. And so this one leper, a despised Samaritan, an unlikely suspect, returns to Jesus offering a generous gift of praise to God. Now, here's where it gets interesting to me. Now, do you think all 10 were grateful? I mean, they all were lepers. They were all excluded, right? They all were probably thankful and grateful. They might have even said thank you in their own way. We don't know. Of course they were thankful, right? Now that they were clean, they could rejoin society. They could be reunited with family and friends. They could participate in the community. They could participate in worship once again. They had a lot to be grateful for. They all had been blessed. They all had experienced this cleansing. But only one of them recognized the source of his blessing and returned to give God praise. With Thanksgiving around the corner, we often stop and we take a moment to think about what are the things that we are grateful for, right? What are we thankful for? But how often do we turn and give God praise for those things? As we express our thanks, do we also express our praise? What if we became generous with our praise for what God is doing? Upon returning to Jesus, Jesus takes note saying, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Was no one to be found to return and give praise except for this one foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has what?" For those of you that might have your scripture open, what does it say in your Bible? Or those that remember 2 minutes ago when I said it. Your faith has what? Healed you? We got to healed you. Saved you. Mindset made you well. The correct answer is saved you. Who said that? Good job, Julie. You know your Greek very well. We did not know that Julie is one of our Greek scholar in our midst here. She's been studying up on the sermon notes. She's been reading her commentaries. And she wants us all to know that it goes a little bit deeper than just the healing and being made well. That Jesus says your faith, the word that's used here in the Greek is sozo, the word used for saved. In fact, if you don't have that in your Bibles or you want to make a note to take home later, just write that down. Saved. Your faith has saved you. Because in this story, Jesus is letting us know that anyone who comes to believe in him through faith will not just be healed, but they'll find salvation. God's grace is for everyone, even the Samaritan. And so while all 10 lepers may have experienced a miracle, while all 10 lepers may have been healed, only one found salvation that day. Because only one returned to Jesus to give God praise. You see, I think there's an important distinction between being thankful and praising God. I can be thankful and grateful for a lot of things, but how often do I give God credit in my thanks and praise? A generous life is one that gives God thanks and praise for the grace that we have received. And so here's what I want you to do this week. I didn't give you sermon notes. I just want you to remember one thing. I want you to think about one thing this week. I want you to be the 10%. To be that one person who returned to give God praise. No matter what circumstances we might find in, as we think about, as we reflect, maybe as we go around Thanksgiving, and share what we are thankful for. We can say, you know what, I praise God because this. I praise God because, hey, you know what, we went through this scary time, but we are still here. I praise God because even though I was in a hard time, I knew that I was not alone. We can give God our praise. Be the one who recognizes the source of your blessing and returns to offer your praise to God. Now, when we talk about living a generous life, we aren't looking to experience more of God's blessing. The Samaritan wasn't healed any more than the other nine. They all were healed. But because he recognized the source of his healing, his faith grew deeper than all the others. He stepped into the fullness of salvation, discovering that he wasn't just healed from his disease, but he had been welcomed into God's kingdom. When we talk about living a generous life, we recognize that God is the source of our blessings. That God is the one who has provided for our needs. We recognize that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and who provides for His children. We have a God who invites us into His story to participate as partners in His kingdom work. And that's what we are about here at Crossroads. Participating in the things that God has called us to do. To reach our communities, to reach our families, to reach our friends. You see, a generous life sees the miracle because it gives God thanks and praise. It stops to reflect on what God is doing. If you have not had a chance to meet, this is Tom and Whitney Abramson.
Hi, Tom and Whitney.
And I think my first question that I shared with you to prep was, tell us a little bit about your background, kind of growing up, involved in church before.
Yeah, so grew up going to church every Sunday. Pretty involved in the youth group when I was in high school and stuff like that. But we never, as far as I know, never tithed or did anything like that. We just kind of gave offering every once in a while and whatever we had left in our pocket. Even when I was working, I didn't even think about it. It wasn't something that would cross my mind. It was just, hey, I have a little bit extra. Here, I'll put it in the plate, you know. Here's some change or a couple bucks or whatever. So that's my background.
So I grew up going to a Lutheran church. sorry. most of the time it was just my parents dropping us off so we could fulfill the confirmation and get our credit for that. I remember being really little and having fun putting the quarters in my envelope that we gave, but we didn't tithe, we just did offerings. It was around a dollar I know that I got to give. That was kind of fun for me for quarters.
So early on, learning some generosity. Last year when we did our Blessed Life series, though, I had shared just kind of a tithing challenge, saying, you know, if you've never tried tithing before, go ahead and try it for like the next 6 weeks, the next three pay periods. What would it look like to go ahead and tithe? And you felt moved to go ahead and give tithing a try. You want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, we definitely both felt God calling us to start tithing, making that an important part of our life. We went ahead and did it. It was definitely scary. We didn't know that we could do it financially, you know, but we took that step in faith that God would provide for us. And to be honest, I didn't really notice a difference in our lives as far as, oh no, we're short on money, we can't go do this or that or the other thing. We just kind of kept living our lives the same, which surprised me, to be honest. But it was nice knowing that we were giving God our first money instead of just what we had left over, and just how it blessed our life and how we could bless, you know, help the church and help the community out as well. So that's one thing that we noticed.
What he said. So this is where I've got to remember my correct questions in order. So this is where it gets tricky. Since Tom runs our computer, he's not back there to run the computer for me at the moment. But you're gonna run that sweet. Whitney, I understand you have something that you are giving God praise for this year, and I think we have the picture to help us see and visualize what it is.
You'll have to bear with me. I am a crier. So I many issues. And Morgan was the blessing of a lot of hard work and the assistance of a doctor. And Morgan has some really exciting news. She's going to be a big sister, again, with lots of prayers and working with one of my doctors again. In June, we're going to have baby number two.
Cool. Yay!
Which is exciting news. I know we've been praying for quite a while for this. And, you know, sometimes we forget that fertility can be a struggle. And it's not like we sometimes hear or see. Sometimes we don't get the heartaches and hear those pictures. And yet your faith has remained strong throughout this process. Even when things were kind of nerve-wracking, and we've seen God work a miracle in your lives. And so thank you so much for sharing that with us. My last question that I was going to ask you was, what word of encouragement or blessing would you offer for us, or for those, anyone really, who's going through kind of a struggle, a scary time? Maybe there's something that you really long for and waiting for, but is there a word that you'd like to share?
So I found this really nice quote. It says, whenever you feel weak, remember the things that make you strong. Whenever you start doubting yourself, remember those who believe in you. And Philippians 4:13 is, I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Cool, man. Excellent.
Well, thank you for sharing, Sandra, for a moment. Let's offer a blessing for the Abramson family. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in Todd and Whitney's life and the way that you have blessed them, both with Morgan. What a wonderful blessing and miracle she is, and for the second baby as well. And so, God, we just declare your health upon her. We pray your health upon this baby. We pray that this pregnancy would go smoothly without complications. And we ask for your continued blessing in their life as they just press in more and more to you each and every day. Thank you for being there for them, and may you continue to be with them in the coming year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'll take it. We're going to invite the Turgeons to come forward next. And again, I have to test my memory of what was the specific question that I had for you guys. I'll let you hold on to that. Do you? So the Turgeons have been with us since pretty much the very beginning. I'm trying to remember if you were here the grand opening Sunday. I think I just remember CJ's, your son's first Sunday here, was, they have a bus I'm not interested. And yet he has been a faithful blessing and servant and helping set up and tear down when he's not working. So this is the Turgeon family, and I'm trying to remember question number one now. Just tell us a little bit about kind of your background and involvement here at Crossroads.
We were members at the Inver Grove Heights before Salem, before it was part of Crossroads. And I visited there with my mom one Sunday and heard that this was happening. And I remember being really excited because I was pretty much an empty nester, thinking, I'm going to be so helpful and I'm going to do all these things to help start this church. And I would say our church journey has kind of ebbed and flowed. And then we also did the tithing challenge last year, and it's changed our life in a number of big ways.
So God's been kind of growing your heart in terms of generosity, and not only have you been generous with your time of faithful service here and helping out, set up, tear down. Becky serves on our staff relations and our leadership team as well. But you have financial resources, but you have sensed God calling you to be generous in another way this past year. So why don't you share a little bit with us about your story there?
I think I felt like I was being called to foster care for a while and ignored it. And then I finally prayed, if this is the right thing, I'll take one step. And God's just kept, like, each step has went quite easy, and we got licensed, and I was very clear with the county. I would take one infant under the age of 24 months, and we now have four under six, with the babies being three. So God thinks he's got a good sense of humor. And the challenges are there, definitely, but the blessings far, far, far outweigh.
And how have you seen God being with you throughout this process?
Well, I think it makes everything that we would normally worry about, or we wouldn't have tried it without that peace, and all the worries are less, so all the concerns are less, so you know it'll get figured out, it'll be provided.
People ask me, what are you going to do? The next court date is a few days before Christmas. It's not my worry.
Cool.
Anything else you want to share with us today? Because I forgot whatever the fourth question was.
what are we thankful for?
Yeah, what are you thankful for giving God praise for?
Family.
Yeah, and not just our kids that have stepped up in huge ways, even when they didn't really care to, but the family we've made here, and the church stepping behind us and learning to be okay asking for help and knowing that really all our needs have been met generously, and we're very thankful.
Well, let's offer a word of prayer for the Turgeons. God, I thank you for the work that you have been doing through Chris and Rebecca and their family, CJ and Lexi, and just their willingness to open up their hearts, to open up their homes. This can be a scary endeavor, and yet you have been with them throughout this process. So, God, I thank you for watching over them. Continue to protect them. Continue to keep them safe. Continue to pour out your blessings in their life and the family that they are ministering to. These children, the children, whether they've had children for temporary foster care relief or even now this long-term foster care, God, you are doing a mighty work in and through them. So we give you thanks and praise for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's express our thanks to the Turgeons for being with us today.
And here comes Pastor Melissa running in just in time. I got your microphone up here to kind of close out my message time.
Singing Christmas songs. Woohoo! Back with the kids. All right. We are celebrating. Are we not today? God has been so good. God has been moving in this church. God has been moving in this community. And we are celebrating some of the really great ways that God has been at work this past year. So, make sure I don't forget anything on my cheat sheet here. I am so grateful for Crystal Busman this past year, who got cross-training restarted again on Wednesday nights. So our children have midweek programming. Our youth group has been growing. We have had 10 youth last year, and we're up to about 15 that are involved on a pretty regular basis this year. VBS this past year reached at least or over 60 kids. We've had two different individuals go in for treatment for addiction and find recovery and freedom. We had our Cedar Lake Farm baptism service, where people were baptized. We celebrated together as our church family during the Lent season with our dinner church. We've been growing in our small groups and adding more groups. And our prayer group, that was just Cheryl and I for a long time, has grown to five, now six people. And we have set aside $25,000 for our building fund and a matching gift being offered to match donations up to $2,500 this month. God has been good. God has been moving. God has been faithful. And we are so grateful for the ways that he has been at work in this church. And so we are celebrating today. And I just want to welcome you all to celebrate with us.
Amen. Thank you.